1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Liz Landers. Talk of a deal to stop the violence in the Israel-Hamas war with four-hour humanitarian pauses a day. That as Israeli strikes hit Hamas targets near several hospitals in Gaza City, with growing pressure on Israel to stop the bombardments or at least do more to save civilian lives.
I've set goals. I didn't set a timetable because, you know, it can take more time. I wish it'll take little time. But we're proceeding step by step, reducing our casualties in the process, trying to reduce and minimize civilian casualties and maximize the casualties of the Hamas terrorists.
Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu in Tel Aviv. President Biden will meet with Chinese President Xi Jinping next week in San Francisco, the two leaders' second face-to-face meeting since Biden took office. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin announcing he won't seek re-election next year. Analysts say a Republican could take the seat, while Manchin could become a third-party presidential candidate. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegeho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The State Assembly passed a bevy of election-related bills on Thursday. One of the bills would allow clerks to begin counting absentee ballots the day before an election. Governor Evers said that he is ready to sign that bill if it comes to his desk. The Assembly also passed a number of proposed constitutional amendments. One of those would ban local governments from using private money to run elections. It's now set to go before voters next year. Meanwhile, Assembly Republican Majority Leader Tyler August sounds open to changes the state Senate has made to the American Family Field Maintenance Bill.
I see no reason why we wouldn't have the votes to be able to concur on that amendment almost immediately and put this issue to bed once and for all.
The amendment increases money from the Milwaukee Brewers and lowers the contribution from state taxpayers. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
For WGBW News, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's always important to stay alert when driving. Recent data shows it's even more crucial when traveling Highway 21 in Winnebago County near Omro. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation reports that there have been 525 crashes on 21 in the last 10 years. In just the last 2 weeks, there have been three accidents, two of them fatal. The Wisconsin DOT is planning to build three roundabouts and two left turn lanes on the most dangerous stretch of Highway 21 in an effort to make it safer, but those projects are at least 3 years down the road. Are you looking to buy a school? The Oshkosh Area School District announced yesterday that Washington Elementary School is for sale and they are accepting bids. The district says the school will close at the end of this school year. The city's new Menominee Elementary School will open for the 2024-25 school year and will be the new home for students currently enrolled at Washington, Merrill, and Webster Stanley schools. And that's what you need to know. I'm Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Badgers basketball tonight at the Kohl Center. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Badgers at home tonight against the number 9th ranked Tennessee Volunteers. It's the first time Wisconsin has ever hosted a top 10 ranked team in the month of November. Basketball head coach Greg Gard.
I think every games, practices, film sessions, everything, vets helping younger guys. Our older guys have done a really good job of trying to kind of auto-correcting on the fly, and that'll help us.
NBA, the Bucks losing to the Pacers 126-124, even though Giannis scored 54 points, just one short of his career high. Chris Middleton after the game.
We had some good possessions. Some shots went down. I think the turnovers kind of bit us in the butt a little bit.
NFL, the Packers play the Steelers Sunday in Pittsburgh. Isaiah McDuffie has been making a name for himself at inside linebacker for Green Bay alongside Devondre Campbell, Kenny Clark.
Yeah, Isaiah coming in, you know, for the guys, and then no drop off.
That's Packers defensive end, Kenny Clark. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. cloudy skies. Today, with a chance for scattered showers. Highs level off around 43. Northwest winds, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows around 29. Tonight, mainly cloudy. 44 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 36.
Timeout!
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. UK.
No, my husband, Ito.
Brother. Good morning and welcome to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, my friend?
Pretty good. Another week down. Looking forward to the weekend.
Yeah, man, I can agree 100%. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
How are you? Every other time I'm here, I listen to Calvin talk about how we're getting to the end of things. I feel like I must portend the end of things.
Well, you can say that when you're 25, right?
I guess you can. Yeah.
It's a little bit different. But we've got a very special guest in the studio, Sandy, that you're going to introduce. You want to begin that?
Well, I do. But why don't you introduce yourself so we get the name pronounced correctly, though? Your name is Ido?
Yes, my first name is Ido. Last name is Haber.
Ido has come to us through a mutual acquaintance we have. Ido is Israeli, born in Israel. Served in the Israeli military after high school, then did his collegiate or post-collegiate training here in Wisconsin at the University of Wisconsin, correct?
Yeah, so I swam for UW. I did my undergraduate degree in neurobiology and psychology, then my master's in biomedical engineering, and now I'm pursuing my PhD in neuroscience.
Yeah, so you actually are not a rocket scientist, but a neuroscientist. But what we wanted to talk to you about, what's going on in Israel. You are an Israeli, and you served in the military. You have an understanding both of the Israeli people and the circumstances there. And we've had guests on from, we had Palestinians on last week, and we also this Tuesday had on a call from Israel from a person who had a particular vantage point. But we wanted to talk to you because this is obviously a serious concern, and there are many people in the United States who have relatives in Israel who have strong feelings about the situation. And then there's also just developing world opinions about it, and they're getting seemingly more polarized. So from our standpoint, we're interested in exploring the vantage points that various people have and the facts that they have to tell us about. So, you know, tell us, I guess, a bit about, you know, you were here living in Madison on October 7th, I presume, and how has all this gone down for you?
Unimaginable. I was actually playing music at a local bar in Madison the night of October 6th, and when I got home, it was about 2 a.m., I received a few messages, a few videos from my friends, outrageous stuff. And I naively asked them, what is that? Where is it? And they told me there is a war happening today, right now, in Israel. Unprecedented. The scale is nothing like we've seen before. And that's how it started for me.
Yeah, I mean, the scale of it is different. But I know I was visiting in Ashkelon, north of the Gaza, a year and a half ago, and I was in a grocery store. Mm-hmm. Talking to a woman, she said, "You're a tourist?" She said it in a questioning. I said, "Yes." She said, "What are you doing in Ashkelon?" And by the tone of her question, I realized that there was some reason why a tourist might not want to be in Ashkelon. And then I saw that it was shelled heavily and that it's very close to the Gaza and has been the subject of shelling over time rather repeatedly. So the scale of this was surprising, but was the fact that there was this kind of a thing happening surprising, or was it more at the scale?
I believe so. This is the worst day for Jewish people since the Holocaust.
Yeah.
The most death in a single day since the Holocaust. Yes, there has been repeated bombing and missiles launched to Israel daily over the whatever, 20 years, but a ground assault on civilians, that was never done before.
Yeah. But something about the situation in Gaza has bred this sort of festering sore there, I presume. I mean, and one of the questions Americans have is when and how can the situation that has bred this awful circumstance, how can that get resolved?
That's the million-dollar question. I think we, as Israel, wish for peace. I'm sure some Palestinians do too. I think the day that our government, run by Netanyahu and company, as well as Hamas on the other side, for as long as they're ruling, I don't think there'll be peace. When Hamas is not the government of Palestine, and when the current Israeli government will be replaced, I think that will be the day that something might happen.
Yeah, I was listening to Isabel Kirshner, who's written a book about the situation in Israel, and she was talking about how polarized Israel has become. And her book came out before October 7th, but in the book she was warning of civil war actually in Israel because of the extent of the polarity. So here we in America are experiencing this polarity, but in Israel it's happening as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it has been developing over the past few years. And I'm going to say something very carefully, but I think that situation brought a silver lining to the Israeli people. And I think that'll be unity that we will see, and we have been seeing it since October 7th, the unity of the Israeli people, and hopefully that will continue to exist once the this portion is
so ended. So let me ask you said that the situation brought unity to the Israeli people. Prior to this situation, clearly Benjamin Netanyahu was taking the nation in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
He had divided the nation. And the fact that it took such an egregious situation to kind of bring the people back together, do you think it's only during the time that this fight is going on, and once the fight does end, that Benjamin Netanyahu will maybe somehow, survive because he's the guy fighting the war?
I don't think so, and I think once this period will be ended, I believe it will be replaced. And yes, Israel has been divided for quite some time, but it's a democracy. And for the past few years, you've been seeing weekly demonstrations. You've been seeing multiple elections trying to get Netanyahu off the chair, and we'll see what happens after the war.
So when you see the impact of the fact that this happened under his watch, and Is he going to be held accountable and his group for, you know, not being able to see this?
Yeah, that's a devastating question that I've been asking myself and friends and colleagues.
With you being a former military guy, I mean, this has to be very surprising.
Listen, as we all know, I believe, around the world, we have some of the best intelligence agencies out there. And the fact that we couldn't see that coming is devastating.
Well, the United States didn't see it coming either, Sandy.
I know, but actually, Mossad is probably the intelligence agency. It's the gold standard viewed in the world, I think, of intelligence. And so I think the world at large was surprised that it was a surprise. And particularly the extent to which you would think that there would be infiltration of organizations, that Hamas would have been infiltrated. But obviously it was very good at guarding against infiltration because the secrets were secrets. So.
And to your question again, I think the government and high-ranking officers will be held accountable to some degree. They didn't do that, but they didn't prevent that from happening. But this is not the time yet. Right. We have a situation to resolve, but the day after, there will be a heavy investigation. I'm sure of it.
So the announced purpose, at least of Netanyahu, and when he speaks for the country, is to essentially eliminate Hamas, to put it in, as in his words, the dustbin of history, which sounds almost like sort of a cleansing, a physical cleansing. And to the extent that would be attempted, it seems from an outside logical standpoint to be an almost an impossible objective, because Hamas is embedded in a community, and just as intelligence was unable to uncover this, it will be impossible to uncover the identity of all of who is Hamas. And so Hamas has, some people would look at it and say it is the result of generations of issues in Gaza that created this terrorist organization. So if elimination of Hamas is just from a technical, logical standpoint an impossibility, what is the proportionate outcome here? The world is looking at what's going on. The UN and others are beginning to say, wow, this is becoming disproportionate to Israel. You've got to have a ceasefire. You've got to pull back. You've got to stop on this course right now of what seems like complete destruction.
Mm-hmm.
How do we sift through that as Americans to try and figure out what the right path is?
Yeah. I guess my answer will be two parts. First one, what is proportion?
Right.
Should we go there, kill, murder, rape 1,400 people, and then kidnap 200 back to Israel, children, elderly? Is that a proportion that the world is looking for? That's one. Two, I agree that ceasefire is essential, but I'm not going to ask to a ceasefire without asking for the 240 people, the hostages that are held in tunnels in Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
That needs to come hand in hand.
It does, except that when you look at it dispassionately out from the outside, it seems as if the civilians in Palestine are in some respects then being held hostage by the Israelis, because what is Israeli is saying is that we are going to keep damaging Gaza and keep threatening the civilians of Gaza with this war until we get these hostages
back.
So
before you respond, Edu, we've got to go to take a short pause. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness.
For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org. That's 800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Okay.
Back to 1964.
We wish, actually.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Our guest is Mr. Edu
Haber.
And Sandy, it's Friday. That means my co-host Sandy Weisman. Sandy, you were asking the question before.
Well, yeah, it is a guest, an Israeli who's doing graduate work at the University of Wisconsin, served in the Israeli military, and has a close perspective on what's going on. And so we're asking about that. I was asking about how it is that, the world now talks about proportion, and you were answering, saying, look, proportionate to what? And saying that it was important that the hostages, is in your mind at least, that a quid pro quo for a ceasefire, which you would find important, would be the release of the hostages. And I was saying, well, in some respects, that puts the civilians in Gaza in a position of hostage to the solution of Hamas, doing what Hamas should do, and whether the people of Gaza are in a position to make that happen or not. And I guess the Israeli position is, by doing this, the people of Gaza will put so much pressure on Hamas, making them put them in the position where they will have to release the hostages. Is that the rationale, do you think?
I don't think so, because the people of Gaza, unfortunately, don't have the power to put pressure on Hamas.
Right.
Right.
So that's my point, then, about how it is that in some respects this puts the people of Gaza, the non-Hamas people of Gaza, into a situation where they're being held hostage by Hamas and Israel together, right? I mean, the two of them.
I disagree. They're held hostage only and solely by Hamas. Israelis are helping, are supporting their way down south. And hey, this is war. War is messy.
Yeah.
However you're going to look at it.
So there's another addition to this. The United States has hostages that are involved as well. And so the United States is saying, hey, we want a ceasefire in order to be able to negotiate in order to get American hostages out. Well, so it's not as easy as just dealing with the Israeli hostages. There are other hostages as well that the United States is trying to get.
Well, I think the Israeli position is a little bit that you're in a war right now where they've got Hamas on their heels. And if they call a ceasefire, a little bit like when you turn the lights on and the insects all run back into the walls, a ceasefire would I think, from when you listen to what Netanyahu's saying, a ceasefire would give Hamas the opportunity to retreat and regroup. And I take it that's the concern about ceasefire.
Absolutely. And if you've been invested in this storyline for more than a month, like most people in the United States, you would know the narrative.
Yeah.
There is an action taken by Hamas. There is a response taken by Israel. There is an awful situation happening in Gaza and Israel, therefore, And then there is a call and pressure for ceasefire. There is ceasefire, and then Hamas regroups, take a breather, get the money to build more weapons. A year or two after that, another story.
So let me ask you then, from a perspective of somebody, again, on the outside looking in, if the bombardment continues, mm-hmm. what is the possibility that they're going to be able to release the hostages under the heavy bombing? And the more that that Gaza is leveled, the possibility of more hostages being killed is always mm-hmm. going to be there. So it's not an easy answer to
Well, it's the most complex situation out there, you know. And I do think it's we should say that there are humanitarian breaks. So it's not a ceasefire. But the Israeli, the IDF, takes breaks to help Gazans move down south and kind of bring humanitarian aid back to Gaza.
But we have to say that the breaks that they're talking about, 4 hours with mm-hmm. 3 hours yep. of ahead of time,
yes.
making people aware, that's something that the United States has been brokering with Israel to try to make it happen. I don't know if it started to happen yet.
It has started. And there are stories also of Israeli giving advance notice through cell phone calls to people in apartment complexes to help them understand that they need to clear out.
You don't have electricity, though.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, the issue ultimately in the long run, I always step back and say, okay, this is a terrible brush fire, but it constitutes hopefully something that's near term. The long-term solution, history has shown us that military can't ultimately squelch terrorism. That terrorism is the result of a condition, and the condition needs to be resolved. How do the Israelis, that from your standpoint, do they see a two-state solution as the ultimate solution here, or what is a solution to what is obviously a festering carbuncle in medical terms?
Okay. Before I answer that,
yeah,
let me just say, the Israeli military try to minimize casualties. Hamas tries to maximize casualties on both sides. And that is clear. And we should not forget that. And as you said, we hack cell phones, we hack TVs, we drop leaflets before there's bombing happening. And people should keep that in mind. About the one-state solution, two-state solution that you asked me.
Well, so we elaborate on that, what you're saying, and what I've understood to be the case, is that Hamas is actually making it difficult for people to find safety so that it's creating the human shield strategy that they're utilizing, which is they're making sure that an attack on Hamas will take civilians with them.
There is no new under the sun. Hamas is based out of hospitals, out of mosques, out of schools, and you can see it online. You can see it, and now that the Israeli military is there on the ground, you can see the footage.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we've got to pay some bills, and we'll come back on the other side. You're free to give us a call at 844-967-2789. Edu Haba.
Ido Haber
is in the studio. We'll be right back.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Enrollment is up at the Universities of Wisconsin for the first time since 2014. The system is out with its numbers for the first 10 days of the school year. It says there are 1,700 more students enrolled than last year. There are now a little more than 162,000 students enrolled at state universities in Wisconsin. 10 of 13 four-year schools are seeing increases, but enrollment at two-year branch campuses is down again. Officials with the Biden administration were in Wausau this week to praise how they're quickly and aggressively addressing PFAS contamination. Senior Biden advisor Tom Perez went to see the city's new water treatment plant on Thursday. Wausau is set to receive nearly $6 million in federal funds to replace lead service lines. Perez said that mayors across the country should be looking at Wausau to learn how to address the forever chemicals. Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
For WGBW News, I'm Pete Schwabe. The Green Bay City Council has passed a $132 million budget proposal for 2024. That's a 6.8% increase over last year. Part of the package calls for more police, a rental inspection position, and new positions within the Department of Public Works.
We're number one when it comes to Drug Takeback Day. The Wisconsin Department of Justice says Wisconsin ranked number one for the second year in a row for the entire country. Our state collected over 53,000 pounds of old or expired medications this year. Wisconsin is ranked number three overall since the program started in 2010, collecting over 1.2 million pounds of unwanted meds, trailing only Texas and California in that time span. Drug Takeback Day is recognized 2 days a year, once in the fall and once in the spring, but unwanted or unused medications can be disposed of at any time at the 490 locations throughout the state. And that's what you need to know. I'm Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Badgers basketball tonight at the Kohl Center. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Badgers at home tonight against the number 9th ranked Tennessee Volunteers. It's the first time Wisconsin has ever hosted a top 10 ranked team in the month of November. Basketball head coach Greg Gard.
I think every games, practices, film sessions, everything, vets helping younger guys. Our older guys have done a really good job of trying to kind of auto-correcting on the fly, and that'll help us.
NBA, the Bucks losing to the Pacers 126-124, even though Giannis scored 54 points, just one short of his career high. Chris Middleton after the game.
We had some good possessions. Some shots went down. I think the turnovers kind of bit us in the butt a little bit.
NFL, the Packers play the Steelers Sunday in Pittsburgh. Isaiah McDuffie has been making a name for himself at inside linebacker for Green Bay alongside Devondre Campbell. Kenny Clark.
You know, Isaiah coming in, you know, for the guys, made no drop off.
That's Packers defensive end Kenny Clark. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies today with a chance for scattered showers. Highs level off around 43. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows around 29. Tonight mainly cloudy. 44 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 36.
Mino and the Mayor.
Very honored to have Chester Markle joining us.
You had some challenges with alcohol. You have done a great job getting that message out.
You know, it takes a long time to get it for some people. You know, my responsibility to every community and every place I go is to give back what others gave to me when I didn't know how to get it.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Call the rising sun.
welcome back to a special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. I mean, it's Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and we have a very special guest, Mr. Edu.
Go for it. Edo Haber.
Edo.
Edo yep. Haber.
Edo yep. Haber. And let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Jack from Racine. Hey, Jack, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Good morning. I want to make a couple points. First, I just want to say that I have great empathy for everyone concerned in this conflict. But I watched a Frontline show earlier this week that I think was really good, and probably people can pick it up on PBS somehow and see it. It was it went over the history of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and there were numerous attempts, most often brokered by the United States but with other world, to reach a settlement, a peaceful settlement, mostly focusing on a two-state solution. And every time religious extremists, some from the Palestinian side, some from the Israeli side, blew it up by creating an incident that caused people to not deal with the diplomacy that was taking place, and to create hatred and a need for immediate action, and they fell apart. So here we have the latest that's happening right now, same type of thing. And so that's a good program, and I think I hope people would watch it. Secondly, is just talking about terrorism and the nature of terrorism. When we talk about the Hamas using, hiding in hospitals, et cetera, well, they're a weaker military force. They have their own grievances, but they're going to use that tactic, just like the Viet Cong used guerrilla tactics in terrorism in the Vietnam War.
Japanese with the kamikaze flights.
Say again?
Like the Japanese with the kamikaze flights.
Yes, exactly. There's another.
Well, I mean, there's a long history. Terrorists obviously use tactics. I mean, the blowing up of oneself is obviously the ultimate terrorist expression, but the troubles in England that went on for so long were a further expression of different when you have disequilibrium in terms of power, the weak tend to use procedures and techniques that are horrific. So, but that explains it. But I think the problem from particularly the Israeli standpoint is they're experiencing it, and they've been experiencing it for a long period of time, and then. My question is, what's the circumstance? How do we change the circumstance so this stops happening? But from the Israeli standpoint, Hamas is an existential threat. I think you were saying, and Hamas views themselves that way. Is that correct, Ido?
Absolutely. I will say that being weak is not a virtue, right? You can be weak and still be moral. This is something Hamas is not very good at. And let me read the first sentence from the Islamic Resistance Movement or Hamas Charter, right? Saying Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it, just as it obliterated others before it. And that was said by the Imam Hassan al-Banna. I believe he was the founder of the Islamic Brotherhood. This is the first sentence. They're saying it on major outlets that what happened on October 7th will happen again and again and again. And, if they use misinformation as their ultimate weapon, this is not something they're lying about.
So I guess my response to that would be, so because they've made that statement, if the response to it is the continued slaughter of innocent Palestinian women and children, based on what that man said, the first sentence, that this will continue until all innocent Palestinians...
Israelis.
Israeli.
But that
sentence was a declaration of the elimination of Israel.
I understand that. Yeah. So, but I'm saying, if we're saying that because of what this sentence stated, that all these innocent Palestinian women and children will continue to have to suffer the burden of what somebody else said. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, that's the government. Hamas is the government of Palestine.
But there is a dynamic, you know, that as you said before, it's not a government that the people have chosen. It's a government that has imposed itself on the people.
Correct. Yes.
And so there is that problem in that the people, much like we've put sanctions on Russia to try and bring Putin down, but it's maybe not clear that that's at all a possibility. Mm-hmm. Sanctioning the people of Palestine in this very physical way might not have the impact that would be desired, which would be to have the people of Palestine stand up to Hamas, bring them to the surface, force them to release the hostages. That would be the outcome that logically could be the result of what's happening. But if they don't have the power to do that, they end up being themselves hostage to now then Hamas. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, they are hostage to their rulers, which they have been in the past,
yes,
and to Israel.
I agree with your statement.
Yeah.
What was the question there?
Well, then the question is, how do we get from here to there? Because we can't have this. Israel will pursue this, I'm sure, to the point where they think they've cleaned up Gaza to the point where it's more secure, okay? But the lesson of history is that a generation from now, there will be another round of terrorists and another round, another generation of people who, because of the circumstance, behave in the manner that Hamas has behaved. So how do we get from here to there?
Who am I? Who am I to say?
Well,
I don't know.
Well,
yeah, but American people aren't. We're in the same position, and our government listens a great deal to the American people who are very sympathetic to Israel and tries to get its cue as to what to do and how to behave. And America probably does have leverage to impact the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
But I scratch my head to try and figure out. I mean, my sense is the two-state solution would be the solution, but it never gets there.
So Sandy, from the perspective of what Anthony Blinken and the United States is saying, they're saying that our concern clearly is that Israel be protected, but we're also concerned about the escalation of this. And at the rate we are going right now, this is going to become a broader war. And it is going to bring the United States and other nations into it if it continues at the rate that it's going now.
Well, one question I did have today, because I was listening today about the violence in the West Bank.
Yep.
And the news portrayal of it is that it's to some extent being fomented by extreme right Israeli settlers there who are perpetrating violence on their neighboring Palestinians. And I don't know whether that's an accurate portrayal or whether that's a misportrayal designed to skew our thinking by the people who are providing news. But to the extent it isn't a misportrayal, it does suggest that there is this problem associated with the Mahmoud Hamas. I thought that the West Bank was a place that was more likely to be sympathetic to a solution. But if we start breeding the same problems there, we'll have more difficulty, won't we?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say to that. I, before October 7th, growing up, I wished for the two-state solution, like I believe many other Israelis.
Mm-hmm.
The solution that was originally proposed in 37, I believe, then brought up by the UN in 47, then on and on and on, until I believe the last time was by Ehud Olmert, the prime minister back then in 08, that proposed that the entire West Bank will go to the Palestinian, including East Jerusalem as their capital. And as in 47, they did not take that. And it was proposed in 47 and 08 very clearly. And the thing that Israel, keep in mind, is the only democracy in that area. So even if the people are not happy with it, if the government take the decision, it will happen. right? That's not something you can say about Palestine at the moment with Hamas ruling.
Mm-hmm. So, but again, this is Anthony Blinken on yesterday.
Yes.
U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken said Friday that far too many Palestinians have died and suffered as Israel wages relentless war against the militant Hamas group in the Gaza Strip. Mm-hmm. He urged Israel to minimize harm to civilians and maximize humanitarian assistance that reaches them. Speaking to reporters in New Delhi, Blinken said recent Israeli moves to improve dire conditions in Gaza mm-hmm. as the military pushes deeper into the strip, including pauses in military operation to allow Palestinians to move from northern to southern Gaza, and the creation of a second safe corridor are positive, but they are not nearly enough. This is Anthony Blinken. Much needs to be done. And this is the last paragraph.
Listen.
Much needs to be done to protect civilians and to make sure that the humanitarian assistance reaches them. That's the United States response from the Secretary of State of the United States.
The solution to the ceasefire is very, extremely easy. If today 240 hostages are returned to Israel, tomorrow or an hour later or a minute later, there'll be a ceasefire. Hamas does not want a ceasefire. Hamas doesn't want a ceasefire. Why won't they return the 240 civilian hostages to protect the Palestinian people? So, they don't want it.
So, Sandy, let me respond to him, and then you can. Again, that is the response from the Secretary of State of the United States. It's mm-hmm. not Earl's response. It is what our government is saying. Okay. And so that debate that you are having and that Israel is having, they're having that with the United States government. And the mm-hmm. United States government has basically said what they want to see happen. So we've got a stalemate there. And the question becomes whether or not Israel is going to listen to the United States government's position on this or if they're going to say no.
I don't think it's a stalemate. The game is still on. I think it will be a stalemate again if there will be one side ceasefire when the hostages are still there. Right? You can't even grasp that. They will be rearming themselves and we will repeat the process.
Now, if the hostages were released, just to get back into just a logical game, then it's altogether likely that Hamas still would rearm itself. I mean, the hostages released doesn't mean that Hamas is ready to go to sleep. So to some extent, it begs the logic in my mind to understand why a ceasefire after the... I mean, it does save the hostages' lives, no question about it, but the danger associated with Hamas rearming is still there.
All right, we've got to pay some bills. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789. Be right back.
Turns out.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness.
For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org. That's 800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Does he love me? I want to know. How can I tell if he loves me so?
Is it in his eyes?
Oh, no, you'll be deceived.
Is it in his eyes?
Oh, no, he'll make believe if you want to know.
Shoot,
if he loves you so,
shoot,
it's
shoot.
In his kiss.
That's where it is. Oh, yeah. Or is it in his face?
Oh, no, it's just his charm.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday. This is my co-host, Sandy Williams. We have a very special guest.
Ido Habo.
All right. And, Sandy, you want to give his credentials again?
Well, yeah, Ido is a very interesting young man. He's here doing a Ph.D. in neurophysiology. Came here to swim competitively for Wisconsin and has stayed on and has lived here for what must be 8 years or so now.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Israel.
From Israel, served in the Israeli military, and we're picking his brain to get the sense of what someone with his sophisticated knowledge of Israel and America what his thoughts are.
All right, so go ahead.
You mentioned you had some questions sort of to pose.
Yeah, I mean, being an Israeli and a Jew right now outside of the state of Israel is a difficult time, especially living here for a few years. You know, I've met people, I've become friendly with not just Jews, Israelis, really everybody in the Madison area. And I've tried to have some really difficult conversations, really challenging some of my friendly acquaintances these days about that conflict. And surprising as it is, the progressive liberal left are the one who support, let's call it freedom of Palestine, freedom from who, I don't know. But they're claiming that, or they are anti-colonialists, pro-Palestinian supporters, right? They say that Israel is occupying the land. They are the colonialists. So when the Roman Empire, right, if we talk a little bit about the history, who invented Palestine, right? It was the Roman Empire that gave the land or changed the name Judea to Palestine, right? And who gave the region the border of it? The British Empire. So my question is, how can it be that pro-Palestinians are anti-colonialist? That's the first part. The second part is, who are the Palestinians? Can somebody tell me who are the Palestinians? The Palestinians are typically, or the most of them, are Arabs who came from Egypt, from Syria, from the neighboring countries in the 20s, 30s, 40s, to work for the British mandate. The same time that Jews migrated, escaped from Europe before or during the Second World War, during the Holocaust. Who deserved the land? It's not even who deserved the land, right? It's all of us should live in peace.
So when you asked it from that perspective, that is, I hate to say it, but that is going to incite the Palestinians even more. Who are the Palestinians? And, well, and how did... So I'm just saying, when we talk about the language and what it does to incite, I just think when you asked it from that perspective...
Well, I mean, to get into the history, though, there was a fair dislocation of people in the late 1940s during during the time of the conflicts that ultimately preceded the formation, the formal formation of the State of Israel, and then upon its formation, and the infighting that occurred did result in partitioning and movement of people. So I think that there is some reference to that when we talk about the Palestinians in terms of being at least refugees or dislocated people. A number of them were dislocated. But all of that begs the, figuring out the history only gets us to the present, but the present is the fact we have to deal with. You know, it is, we end up with an unfortunate expression, which is, it is what it is now, and now what do we do?
Yes, but the history is used or misused as the bed frame for these days' reality.
Well, I think the problem is trying to categorize this. So to kind of the people who want to categorize this as colonialism or or what have you are trying to put this into a rubric that they can then digest in their mind and figure out good guys and bad guys. And I think the solution to this is going to try and needs to dissolve the need to find good guys and bad guys and just find facts and situations and deal with that. And I agree with you that a lot of the debate and the rubric of the debate begs an analysis of the truth of the statements, right? Colonialism, okay, let's figure that out. Palestinians, who are the Palestinians? Well, turns out there are a bunch of people now who consider themselves Palestinians who feel like they were dislocated. Gaza is in many respects a refugee camp. And so, okay, now we got that. That's, it is what it is kind of thing. And so if I could have my way, I would try to get the world to get into an is-what-it-is situation and analysis and then try and figure out what the solution is. And that makes it might make it easier, but on the other hand, it doesn't seem to get there.
Yeah, I mean, again, it is what it is situation. Yes, I agree, and we should take it and deal with it as it is. But I guess these two questions were mainly to the Western world, who... From my experience, at least in the Midwest and the East Coast in the United States, is quite ignorant to the history and to really the details of the of that complex situation. They abuse lies and misinformation. Yes.
All right. We've got to take a hiatus for a couple minutes. We'll be back. Our phone lines are open. At 844-967-2789, we'll come right back.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
In the words of Joseph Campbell, a hero is someone who has given his or her life to something bigger than oneself. WGBW 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, Talk of Green Bay would like to recognize members of the United States military who gave the ultimate sacrifice in defending our freedom. This message made possible by Rennes Group, offering assisted living, memory care, rehab, and skilled nursing services. 715-582-2200.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.